Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Hour number three of our fine radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you for listening to us, whether it's on your great local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, Sirius XM Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Coming up in about 10 minutes, the head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Iowa having a very, very good season. Play Loyola of Chicago coming up later on in the week. That's a big-time matchup in the Missouri Valley Conference. Ben Jacobson is going to stop by as we're trying to sprinkle in, as you've been seeing over the last 2 weeks, really a college basketball coach, you know, one or two, you know, each and every week on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Start to get your brain really thinking about the NCAA tournament. So when the teams do come around and that tournament does come around and you're starting to figure out who you're going to put in your bracket, and you can get a little insight on some of the teams from some of these coaches. I love Wojciechowski earlier in the week, defending his guy, Marcus Howard. That was awesome. Going after media members. If they don't have him in their All-American list or the National Player of the Year list as well. And I also love what he said about the Hauser twins that left his program. He said he only wants players that want to be here, which usually don't hear that transparency from coaches. So Ben Jacobson coming up in 10 minutes. And by the way, what current NBA coach actually played at the University of Northern Iowa? It is Mikey B. You know this one? Let's see. Mikey B., do you know this one?
I do know this one, Zach.
What's the answer?
Nick Nurse.
That's correct. World champion Nick Nurse. So maybe we'll throw in a Nick Nurse question to the Northern Iowa head men's basketball coach in Ben Jacobson. Antonio Grillo, please spin the wheel for the QB carousel.
Step right up here. Don't be shy.
The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You got to ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Dallas Cowboys.
Ah, we start in Big D in Jerry's world with the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? When we look at the Dallas Cowboys, it's very simple. You have to pay Dak Prescott. We're going through this dance once again. Last year, Ezekiel Elliott impeded the conversation, brought some of the attention away from Dak and Amari Cooper. Eventually, you paid Ezekiel Elliott, and now you have to pay Dak Prescott. The fact that we're still at this point where we're trying to figure out, is it going to be a long-term extension? Is it going to be a franchise tag? It's absolutely ridiculous. You had this entire year to figure it out. Is Dak Prescott one of the best quarterbacks so far that I've ever seen? No. Has he done enough in his first 4 years in the league to be viewed as the franchise quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys? Yes. And for a little bit, I would used to look at Dak Prescott and say, he's a game manager. He's an average quarterback. He's an above average quarterback. But when you have a quarterback that young who has taken your team to the playoffs twice, you have to give him a long-term extension. He's a good quarterback. He's a very good quarterback. Can he be great one day? Possibly. He may not be great one day. But right now, you would be foolish if you're going to play this out on the franchise tag this year and maybe next year. Because what Dallas should realize, and this is what they failed to do last year, distractions with the football team can be very detrimental. And last year, this Cowboys team had distractions with the head coach, distractions with the running back in training camp, distractions, natural distractions with Jerry Jones each and every time he opens his mouth. And even though Dak Prescott had his best year yet as a pro, throwing for almost 5,000 yards and 30 touchdown passes and only 11 interceptions, when you're not knowing what your future is and you don't have that contract secured, it has to play some effect. And also maybe for Amari Cooper, we saw that effect play out a whole lot greater. So for Dak, it's very simple. You're not going to have to pay him $40 million. It's going to be somewhere $36, $37, $38 million. It's a lot of money, but you need to pay him because right now at 26, all he's done so far in his career is prove people wrong. He's 4 years in, entering year number five, and off the year that he just had, how don't you lock this guy up? Now, you got to make sure that this team as a whole reaches their potential too. We'll see if McCarthy can do that. If you don't bring back Amari Cooper, who's going to complement Gallup? Those are questions as well. But for the quarterback, it's an easy one. You pay Dak. Spin the wheel. Next up.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. I saw a photo the other day of Big Ben at a West Virginia game. And this Twitter account, Big Blue New York R for New York Rangers 1985, he wrote, Ben Roethlisberger looking like Happy Gilmore's caddy Otto, the homeless caddy. And it's a spot-on comparison. I just retweeted it on my Twitter, at Zach Gelb. Ben Roethlisberger at this West Virginia game looks horrible. This doesn't look like a guy who's going to be playing in the National Football League next year. He does look overweight, and maybe it's the beard that adds on a few pounds when you see him visually, but he doesn't look like he's taking care of his body. He doesn't. And hey, he's coming off a very bad elbow injury. How much longer does he have on the football field? I don't know. Remember, before Mason Rudolph got there, he threw out the speculation of, hey, I may not be playing that much longer. Retirement is right around the corner. Then Mason Rudolph starts to, you know, infringe on his territory, and he goes, I'm playing for a long time. Coming off an injury, I don't know what to expect from Ben Roethlisberger. Do I think he's going to be great next year? No. Is he going to be horrible? Definitely a possibility. Is he going to be good? Definitely a possibility as well. I think the days of looking at Ben Roethlisberger as an elite quarterback are over. So you're going to give Ben that chance this year. Ben's going to be your starter, but you need to think about the future. And is Mason Rudolph your future answer? Probably not. Is Duck Hodges, quack, quack, Mr. Ducksworth, is he your future answer? Probably not. So you need to start to figure out who's going to replace Ben. And remember, you lost your first-round draft pick this year because you traded him, which was a good move, to secure Minkah Fitzpatrick. So you may not find your franchise quarterback this year for the future, and maybe next year, but the days of Big Ben winning a Super Bowl in this league, I think, are over. That's what I think they are. I think they're over because I look back at that team. The defense is really solid. I love the defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers, but offensively, I don't know what the identity is. Is James Conner that bell cow back? We weren't able to see it last year because he was injured. Can Juju be that number one receiver? We weren't able to see it last year because he's injured. He was injured. And for Big Ben, he's coming off an injury. Can he get back to that elite form? I don't think so. Can he be good? Possibility. If he's good, they could get in the playoffs, but I don't look at that team as a Super Bowl contender anymore. I love the defense, and this has been a big shift in Pittsburgh. It used to be offense, 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 and what happened to this great defense, the steel curtain that we once had? Now the defense is back, and the offense is a major question mark. We have to take a timeout. That's a QB carousel for the day when we look at the Cowboys and the Steelers. And when we come back, the University of Northern Iowa, their head men's basketball coach, Ben Jacobson, will join us on the show.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
It's the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll chat some college hoops right now. Northern Iowa, the Panthers are 22-3 on the season, first in the Missouri Valley Conference, and they've won six in a row. They have a big game coming up on Saturday against Porter Moser squad in Loyola, Chicago. And the last time those two teams met, you did have a victory for the University of Northern Iowa in overtime. So let's head out to the hotline right now and welcome in the Panthers head coach and Ben Jacobson, who's been there since 2006, has made four NCAA tournaments. And you, of course, remember in the 2009-2010 season when the Panthers did find their way in the Sweet 16. Coach, thanks for coming on, and how are you?
Yeah, we're good, Zach. Appreciate you having us on.
No problem. We do appreciate it very much. So I was looking back at the end of last season to refresh my memory. You guys were under 500. You obviously are in the conference tournament. You find yourself in the championship game. You blow an 18-point lead, and you don't get to the NCAA tournament. But I'm just wondering, with the signs that your team showed in that tournament, do you think it had a carryover effect into the year that we're seeing out of your squad right now?
Yeah, it sure did. You know, we were pretty good the last 2.5-3 weeks. We played good basketball, and it took us a while last year. We had some first year guys, AJ Green, Trey Burhau. We had two seniors on our team, Wyatt Lohaus and Miles Wenzine. And Miles ended up tearing his ACL early in January, so we just had one senior that was playing the last 2 months. So we had a younger team. It took a little while. We made a significant change to our offense, but the last 2.5 weeks, we were good. We won a couple road games by double figures. And went to St. Louis playing our best basketball. Had two close games, really one possession games in the quarterfinals, semifinals, and I think the guys learned a lot about, you know, just staying with it. You know, that you gotta work hard to get better. And no matter what's happening, no matter if you're playing good, if you're winning games, if you're not winning games, you gotta stay with it. And that was important for us heading into this year.
To be 22-3 at this point of the season, it's unbelievable. I saw before the season did commence, you guys are ranked third in your conference. I know some coaches play up the preseason polls. Other coaches say they don't care for them. Has this season pretty much gone the way that you expected it, or has something surprised you with your club this year?
No, I tell you, we felt like we were going to be good. We not only the guys I mentioned, you know, AJ Green, Trey Burhau, you know, two of our better players last year, and guys that are now into their second year with us, but Austin Fife is our starting center right now, and Austin has been terrific for us. He's getting almost a double-double in league play. Brings a real presence and a real energy to what we're doing at both ends of the floor. And he missed last year, took a medical red shirt. So we knew getting him back. Tywan Pickford has been really important to us coming off our bench. He was hurt a lot of last year. So we thought we were going to be good. Zach, we did. We thought we were going to have a good team this year.
Ben Jacobson is my guest right now on the Zach Gelb Show, the head coach of the University of Northern Iowa Panthers. You mentioned AJ and Trey. How have you seen them really grow this year into becoming, you know, the players that they have been throughout the course of the season?
Well, both those guys have done a great job just in terms of their awareness, and I think that comes from the work. You know, the work in the weight room and physically getting better. You can see that with both guys, their footwork, what they're doing defensively, their understanding of what we want to get done at the offensive end. They've really grown in those aspects. You look at their numbers are much better than what they were a year ago. And you're talking about, you know, a guy in AJ Green that just, you know, it's all day, every day for him. Jack, I mean, you can't get him out of the gym, and you know whether he has a great performance, maybe he doesn't play quite as well as he expects to play, whether our team wins a game, whether we get beat in a game, like none of those things impact what he's going to do next. He's going to get up the next day and he's going to get to work. You know, he's going to figure out something that he's going to do better that day at practice, that he's going to do better so that our team can play better. And then with Trey, he's just grown a lot. He's a little more laid back, a little more, easy going, and loves being around his teammates. And, and he's, you know, he's just come a long ways in terms of his attention to detail. And, you know, you're talking about two high-end shooters. I think they're two of the best shooters in the country. And you throw in Spencer Haldeman, who's shooting well above, I think he's above 45% from three right now. And so we've got three guys in our in that starting group that that can really shoot the basketball.
Yeah, I was exchanging a few texts earlier this morning with Seth Greenberg. We're very friendly, and I was asking him about your basketball team, and he says he really loves your basketball team, and you guys play at a little bit of a faster pace. And I mentioned right away, I go, it seems like this backcourt, they could really shoot the three-point ball.
Yeah, those three guys can, Zach. I mean, they shoot it, you know, as a group, they shoot it as good as, you know, I think as good as any team in the country. If you grab three guys off of any team, I think our three are going to be as good or better than most, if not all of them. You know, they really shoot it. And then we've got, you know, our fourth starter in the backcourt is Isaiah Brown, who's our best defender, and Isaiah's shooting right at 40% from three. And then Austin Fife inside is shooting a high percentage. And he hasn't taken a three this year, but he's shooting a high percentage inside. So we've been good that way. You know, offensively, we were much better than what we were a year ago. And, again, a lot of that, the four guys that I mentioned on the perimeter, those guys are all a year older, of course. And then getting Fife back from that medical redshirt has really made a difference for our offense.
I know there's a long time in terms of the basketball world until March Madness, even though it's right around the corner and you don't want to go there yet. But do you think your style, assuming you're in the tourney, projects well in March?
Yeah, and I just got off my radio show about 20 minutes ago, Jack, and our radio guy, we've been together forever, and he was asking me about the league race, and hey, there's five left. What do you think so far? And I said, yeah, we got practice at 8 tomorrow morning, and the bus leaves at 10. So in terms of our team, yeah, we got, yeah, I like our group a lot. We're older. We're not really old. Like we've had, in 15, we had a really old team, and we were in the round of 32. In 2010, we were really old. This team is older than it was last year, but we're not really old. In saying that, we got three guys that can really shoot it, and Isaiah can guard. Fife's really good inside. We've got depth. I like our team a lot. I do, and we got you mentioned it. You know, we're going to Loyola Saturday to see Porter and his guys, and you know they're terrific. Krutwig and Williamson and their new guys like that. And Porter does, you know, he does a terrific job. So we got a heck of a challenge coming here on Saturday.
What could you take from that first matchup that went to overtime and you guys were able to get the victory?
Yeah, just a man, you get in that game and it's just a reminder of how good Krutwig is. You know, I don't know how much you've seen him play, but I think he's one of the best centers in the country. I think he may be the best passing center in the country. As much as he handles the ball, as much as he does in terms of his passing, you know, obviously he scores it. So you got to make decisions every time down the floor. You're thinking about, do we double? Where do we help off of? Well, you know, then they got guys that are cutting to the basket, and then they got guys that are standing out there getting open on the 3-point line. But he's involved in almost every single possession, and that's unique, you know, right? There aren't many centers in college basketball that handle it out at up at the elbow or on the at the top of the key, and they run your offense from there. And then you can throw it into him, and he can score on the block if you don't send some help down. So, just another reminder how good a player he is. And then the other thing, you know, any time we've played against Porter and played against his teams, man, their team defense it's hard to crack. They do a great job of switching and denying, do a great job of creating and causing turnovers. Those two things always stick out. How do you deal with Krutwig? How do you deal with their unselfishness? And then how do you crack that defense?
It was pretty neat, though, last time you guys played them, the game before, you guys were coming off a loss to Southern Illinois State. How did you guys block out that game, that tough loss? And, you know, I know it makes it a little easier when you're going up against Loyola Chicago with their history, but how did you guys block that out? And did you learn anything about your team coming off that loss and getting the victory the next time out?
Yeah, you know, being able to snap back. We had it. We played in the non-conference event in Cancun, and we played West Virginia in our first game in Cancun, and we played well. You know, we were up 15 with about 8 to go, and they were able to get us, you know, turn us over a couple times, and able to get us at the end in a one possession game in the last minute. And we had to play the next night against South Carolina, who is having a nice year. And so two very physical games. We had some disappointment coming out of the West Virginia game, and our guys were able to snap back and hang in there in another physical game and beat South Carolina. And so it was a little bit like that, Zach, where, you know, we weren't Southern Illinois really played, did a great job. And they had us down 16. We rallied and had it tied with 5 minutes left. And so we gave ourselves a chance. We had the ball down one with 8 seconds left. And so you come out of that one, and now you got, you know, now you got Loyola coming to town. So I think the experience with West Virginia, South Carolina, maybe a little similar. I think that helped us.
And this consistency this year, as we're talking to Ben Jacobson, is really something. Obviously, when you're 22-3, you have a really good team. But you look at all your losses. West Virginia was a 5-point loss. You know, Illinois State was a 76-70 loss. You know, Southern Illinois was a 2-point margin. You know, when I look at the entire schedule, you see the victory up against Colorado. Do you look at that as your best victory of the season?
Yeah, that win at Colorado is our best one right now. And I, you know, winning at Bradley in our league is really hard. You know, so there's games in our league that won't get quite the same punch as that win at Colorado. But I think is, you know, as we both know, you know, when you're in league play, it doesn't matter what league you're in. You know, when you win games in your league, and in particular when you win games in your league on the road, like that's a really hard thing to do. So we've been able to get four road wins in our league, and we've got some home wins, you know, with Loyola and a couple of the other teams that are in the top four or five in our standings, and those are good ones. But the one at Colorado would be the best non-conference one. Then you mentioned the three losses, Zach. It's a one possession game against West Virginia. The Illinois State game was tied 70-70 with a minute left, and we had the ball down one and missed a shot that would have put us up one against Southern. So all three of them are one possession games with a minute left or less.
Wrap it up with Ben Jacobson, the head basketball coach for the Panthers at the University of Northern Iowa. We know this conference is really good. We saw what Loyola Chicago was able to do a few years ago. We saw what you guys were able to do. I know Wichita State's no longer in the conference, but they've been able to go on some runs over the years. What is it about this conference? You know, is there a team or two that maybe people aren't paying that much close attention to that we really should be paying a little bit closer attention to?
Yeah, you know, I would tell you there's a couple teams in our league again. You know, whoever it is that wins in St. Louis, and however things, you know, shake out for us as we go down the stretch here, that when you get, you know, we get into that NCAA tournament, that plenty capable of winning a game or two or three. You know, it just up until last year, Zach, there was, I believe it was 6 or 7 years in a row that a Valley team had won the first round game. If there were two teams in, they both won. If there was one team in, they won. So there was, I think, nine straight first round games a Valley team won up until, you know, Bradley's game last year. So it's a great basketball league and well prepared. You know, with whatever team or teams is playing in March in the NCAA tournament, I would not be surprised if it's us or us and somebody else, or it's somebody else. Not surprised at all if we win that first round game.
What's the biggest part of your team, Coach Jacobson, that you think needs to improve on right now?
Oh, two things. At the offensive end, we've done a better job in the last five games of taking care of the basketball. Our turnover percentage, Zach, was too high for a long time, and now it's down. You know, it's down around 15-16%, which we can deal with. You know, for a long time it was up 19-20%, but I like where that's trending. And then defensively, we're about 110th or 112th in KenPom with our defensive efficiency, and in most years, you know, we're somewhere between 40 and 80, and our best teams have been down 30, 40. So we're a little bit off defensively. If we get a little bit better defensively here, and we've been better the last 10 days, 2 weeks, but we got to tighten it up a little bit at that end. We got to take care of the ball a little better.
Last one for you, Coach, and this has been great. I want to talk about one of your alums doing some pretty big stuff on the NBA stage right now, and that's Nick Nurse. Played his college basketball at Northern Iowa and also started his coaching career on the sidelines of Northern Iowa as an assistant back in 89 to 1990. Last year, when they won, all the credit went to Kawhi Leonard. And this year, I know they just lost last night, but they're coming off a 15-game win streak. What they've been able to do this year without Kawhi Leonard is really something. It's a great coaching job.
Yeah, he's, you know, and he's, you know, he's won everywhere he's been, right? And he's, you know, people that that looked up his resume when they won the world championship that maybe didn't know as much about Nick. And look, man, he's been everywhere. He's been everywhere in the United States. He's been overseas. And then you look at, it didn't matter what job he was in. Like, he won. He's won everywhere he's coached. And that, so, you know, I've known him for the better part of, you know, 20 plus years that we've known each other, and he's always won. And so you make a great point, you know, that what he's doing with this team right now, just speaks again to the, you know, the quality of guy that he is, the quality of coach he is. And we, you know, we saw Fred VanVleet for 4 years in the league when he was at Wichita. You know, we went head to head with Fred, and he's a guy that won a ton of games in our league. And those two guys, obviously a great combination. And then, you know, they've got the other guys that are all-stars and that whole deal, but just having played against Fred and knowing Nick, you know, you got two guys that, you know, those guys are winners, man.
Well, hey, Coach, best of luck. We'll be rooting for you. Really do appreciate the conversation, and good luck against Porter. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
There's Ben Jacobson, the head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Iowa. His team 22-3, and there's not a game this year that his team has not been in. If they get out of the Missouri Valley, you never know how many teams are going to get in. Probably one gets into that conference, but with the way they played, they're definitely deserving of a bid in March Madness. And if they get in with the way that they could shoot it, if their three-point shot is on in March, they're going to be a tough out. So we'll take a timeout right now, 33 past the hour. We're going to come on back. A lot going on with Matthew Stafford. Are the Detroit Lions going to be moving on for this upcoming football season? I don't think so. I'll tell you why when we come back.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is The Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, coming up in 19 minutes. You don't want to miss it. Super Bowl champion Bashaud Breeland of the Kansas City Chiefs had an interception in the Super Bowl. He's going to join us in studio. But in the meantime, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's sponsored by our good friends at Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. I'm just seeing some news right now. The Boston Celtics have announced that Kevin Garnett's number 5 will be immortalized in Boston Celtics history as his jersey will be retired. Mikey B, were you a big KG fan, the big ticket? I always enjoyed, I didn't grow up as a Celtics fan, but I remember one of the first, or a Timberwolves fan, but I remember one of the first non-team, like, memorabilia that I did buy, or shirts that I did buy. I was at the NBA store in New York City, and I bought the big ticket shirt with Kevin Garnett's face on it. So I always liked Kevin Garnett. I thought he was a very great personality, and he's obviously a great player, and he's trash talked like we've never seen someone trash talk.
Yeah, you know, I as a Nets fan, I liked when he came to the team at the very end of his career. Obviously wasn't the same player, but when he was in his prime, he was awesome. I mean, his mid-range jump shot revolutionized what really that power forward spot could do. His rebounding, his tenacity. I wish him and Stephon Marbury could have played a little bit longer together in Minnesota. That's more on Marbury. I thought that could have been one of the more dynamic duos in NBA history. But, yeah, Garnett on the whole, it's cool because he's going to be immortalized in Boston and Minnesota, which is awesome to see. You don't see that very often.
And then, obviously, the championship speech. Anything is possible! With all the cursing. And you remember in that finals, they gave a Gatorade bath. You usually don't see the Gatorade bath in the NBA because you play on a hardwood surface. But they gave a Gatorade bath to Doc Rivers because that final game against the Lakers was lopsided, if memory serves me correctly. And the game was obviously decided. And with maybe about 45 seconds left, a minute left, they gave a Gatorade bath to one Doc Rivers. So I remember seeing KG. I saw him play when he was in the Timberwolves at the old, I'm going to assume at the time it was the Continental Airlines Arena. That's what I'm going to go with, because that Continental Airlines, Izod Center, Mike Biseglia, you know the building of Mike Biseglia's building. Who knows? Is that building still there? I don't know what it's used for these days.
Yeah, it just kind of sits there. There's nothing really going on. I don't know any. It should become a parking lot, I would think. They should demolish it. But yeah, it just sits there.
Yeah, it sits. I'm sure they do something there. I saw a concert there a few years back. But I remember seeing KG with the Timberwolves, and they killed the Nets. Absolutely killed the Nets. I forget what year it is. I couldn't even give you an estimation. Maybe.
I'm going to guess you were there in 1998.
No. Later than that. Let's see. When was Kevin Garnett's last year with the Minnesota Timberwolves? I want to say 07?
07, yeah. 06, 07.
Okay. So, yeah, it must have been 2004, 2003, I would have to say. But they abused the Nets that day. Game was ugly. Real ugly. I went with my entire family. Maybe. I don't know if Kidd and Carter were on the team. I knew obviously Kidd was. Vince was on the team. When did Vince get to the Nets?
Vince got to the Nets, I want to say like 2004 off the top of my head.
Okay,
something around
so
that.
Yeah.
It's a ballpark around there.
So that makes sense. I'll have to go back and look at the standings and see what the box score is, but Carter got to the Nets, yeah, 2004 to 2009. So somewhere in that range. Because it was Carter and it was Kidd together, and they just got smoked, absolutely smoked by the Minnesota Timberwolves. So the reason I remember it that way is I had a Jason Kidd jersey and a Vince Carter jersey that I knew someone that was associated with the team, and after the game, I got both those jerseys signed, and they're actually still hanging up in my room today. I have a few pieces of memorabilia that I really like. I have a fight poster of Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali, both signed. That is one of my favorite pieces of memorabilia. I have a Mark Messier signed jersey, a Hank Aaron autograph of him hitting at the time, which was the record-breaking home run, and a Tom Brady signed football. That's like, if my house was on fire and I could take one piece of memorabilia away, it would either be the Brady football or it'd be the Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier fight poster. And since that's been passed down in my family, I can't believe I'm saying this. Mikey B, I can't believe I'm about to say this because you know Tom Brady's my favorite athlete of all time. If my house was on fire and I could take one piece of memorabilia, I may have to take the Muhammad Ali Joe Frazier fight poster.
Understandable.
I really can't believe I just uttered those words, but I think that would have to be the move. So I ended up getting that Vince Carter and Jason Kidd, both jerseys autographed and put in a frame together. So you have both jerseys folded up and put together. That's some of my favorite memorabilia. I have a Joe Montana signed book. You know, when I was younger, I was very much into collecting autographs. Now, I don't care about the autographs. I don't care about the autographs whatsoever now. I like more so of the interview, clearly. But then also, you get the pictures with athletes. You think now kids more so want the autograph? Or do you think they more so want the selfie? I think the selfie now.
I think it's the selfie 100%. That's almost like the new autograph. Because then you can post it online, post it on Twitter, post it on Facebook, the whole deal. It's like, and you can brag to everybody. Oh, look who I'm with.
And it's my understanding now, a lot of people give their phones to athletes now and have them record a message. Not a cameo kind of thing, but, hey, I'm here with little Mikey, and we're at the Nets game. Go Nets. It's Jared Dudley. If you want to, I know he's no longer on the team, but if you wanted to throw a random name out there or something along those lines. All right. Anyway, without further ado, let's get to a little Matthew Stafford talk. So there was this report out there that the Lions are interested in moving on from Matthew Stafford. Bob Quinn, their general manager, came out and vehemently denied it, said that's 100% false. Is there a possibility that the Lions are going to move on from Matthew Stafford? So they're not going to cut him because I still believe Matthew Stafford could be a good quarterback. Now, remember, he's coming off a nasty back injury that made him miss the rest of the season, and you wonder how he's going to be able to return. But when I look at this question, when I first heard this topic being discussed, I said it makes sense. If they could trade him, you get something back. He's an older quarterback. This team is nowhere close to winning. This coach and Matt Patricia isn't probably going to be the coach that you're going to win with. So there's a lot that you need to do. So it probably would behoove them, with Stafford being at 32 years old, just turning 32 a few days ago on February 7th. So happy birthday to Matthew Stafford. But it would behoove them to probably move on if you could get a lot of assets, because this team needs a lot of help. And then you look at the draft position. They're sitting there and they're picking in the top five at number three. So it makes a ton of sense for the Lions to trade Matthew Stafford and then to go pick their quarterback of the future, or draft other players with the assets that you get and maybe punt to next year. And if you are the worst team in the league, you go on out and you get Trevor Lawrence. And then I was reading about it, and this was one big piece of information that I think a lot of people missed today, and it clearly gives you the answer on why the Lions are not trading Matthew Stafford. If they trade Matthew Stafford, the cap hit for Matthew Stafford this year with the Lions in dead money is $32 million. So if Matthew Stafford gets traded, I don't know, let's say the Chicago Bears, which they're in the same division, probably doesn't happen, but let's just say it's the Chicago Bears. He gets traded to the Chicago Bears for a first-round pick, maybe a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick too, whatever the package is. So you make that trade for him not to play for your team. It's $32 million in dead cap this year. That's why I believe that Matthew Stafford is going to be back with the Detroit Lions next year. So eventually you may want to move on, but it's probably going to have to come when it's more financially feasible for that team. Because the Matthew Stafford contract, it wasn't that long ago where he signed that big-time five-year deal, $135 million contract. You want to see when Matthew Stafford is going to be a free agent. That's in 2023. So the dead cap this year is $32 million. In 2021, it's $19 million. And then in 2022, it's $6 million. So in 2021, you could save $14 million. In 2022, if you move on from him, you would save $20 million. And then last year, that contract, the cap hit is irrelevant at $3 million. Or no, he becomes a free agent in 2023. Maybe there's an option or something like that. Or maybe that's just money that he's owed anyway. But he becomes a free agent in 2023. So if you are the Lions, are you moving on from him this year to get the assets? And are you okay with paying the $32 million? The answer is probably no. Probably the intelligent thing, though, for that football team is to start to think about moving on, because what you have right now is, I still think Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback, but you don't know what he's going to be coming off this injury. So I would want Matthew Stafford back this year, and I would hope that he plays well, and the team probably, you would think, is just not going to be good enough. And then you have something where you could really trade him and get the most back, the most bang for your buck, and get actually back what you probably deserve for a player like Matthew Stafford. Because if you trade him right now, maybe the value is a little bit less, even though he's 32 and still probably has some good years left in the National Football League. And I think he's a very good quarterback that is sometimes underappreciated. But if you trade him now, you're probably not going to get the best value for him. So maybe some of this noise is being stirred up. But then if this was the case, the GM wouldn't come out there and say, we're not trading him. But we've seen GMs before say, I'm not trading someone, and then do so. But maybe this is because the GM, Bob Quinn of the Detroit Lions, is cognizant of the fact that Burrow's going to go one, Chase Young's going to go two. So maybe we stir up some noise and get people maybe thinking that we're going to take a quarterback and then have that spot become a valuable trade asset. But then yet again, the GM came out today and said these reports are 100% false. That pick, though, at number three, if you're the Lions, unless if there's a can't-miss player that you're just in love with, you have to seriously think about trading that pick to get more assets, because that draft spot, the third and fourth pick of these drafts, after Burrow goes one and Young goes two, are going to be so valuable for draft capital if you're rebuilding and need a lot of pieces. Because remember, the Dolphins are at five. They're probably looking for a quarterback. They could wait if the other two teams, the Lions and the Giants, take non-quarterbacks and get their guy after Burrow. But if another team wants to get involved, like the Chargers at 6, maybe the Panthers if they move on from Cam at 7. You see some other teams. I would think the Derek Carr is going to be a Raider next year, but maybe Chucky wants to go out there and sign a rookie quarterback. Whoever that team may be in the moving up process, that third and fourth pick are going to be very valuable. And if you could strike a deal and set your team up for the future and get more draft capital and draft assets, it's something that if you're the Lions, you may trade out of that 3 spot. So I believe Matthew Stafford's going to be the quarterback next year. I don't think he's going to see it all the way through that contract when you get into the free agency in 2023. And maybe you get a very good year out of Stafford, not a good year out of the team. And then you look to move on from Stafford in this offseason and get some more back, but also use your draft spot this year to get more draft picks back as well. So just something to think about. Rashad Breeland, Super Bowl champion, going to join us next in studio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.